On this week's episode of the Touch Arcade Show, we discuss Animal Crossing, Lineage 2, a bunch of PUBG clones, and more. Stick with us.
I know a magical place we could go, so close your eyes and make a wish. For the skies with the angriest, flappiest birds, and the seas with ridiculous fish. The Touch Arcade Show is here again. It's Friday night. Touch Arcade Show.
All right, perfect. Hey guys, what's up? You're listening to the Touch Arcade Show. This is episode number 332, and we're actually recording this on November 22nd, 2017, even though you're listening to it on Friday, the 24th. So, you know, holiday week in America anyway. So, just keep in mind that there's not a ton going on this week because of the holidays and the blitz of new games. Animal Crossing finally launched globally and all that stuff. So, but we'll get to that. If this is the first time you've listened to the Touch Arcade Show, thanks a ton for downloading. I'm Eli, and with me is Jared. And between the two of us, we have nearly 20 years of experience covering mobile games on the internet. TouchArcade.com is the best place to go for mobile game news, reviews, guides, and all that fun stuff. The idea of this podcast is basically to serve as like a recap of the week. So mobile moves really fast. It's, you know, often hard for us to even keep up with it sometimes. So a lot of stuff you can miss if you don't, you know, follow the site religiously or whatever else. So if you're into the whole streaming thing, we stream at twitch.tv/touch arcade. We've got a cool Discord at discord.gg/touch arcade, and Touch Arcade, as well as our whole community, is supported by Patreon, which you can find at patreon.com/touch arcade. Backers get a video version of this podcast where you can see us chatting in real time and checking out games and things like that. It's pretty cool. Anyway, we always appreciate iTunes reviews of any kind, good or bad. And if you want to send us an email, it's podcast@toucharcade.com. So with that out of the way, I'm kind of curious to see how Black Friday goes this year as far as like App Store stuff is concerned. Because remember, like way back in the day, it used to be like, God, the sales lists that we would need to write up on Black Friday were just like unbelievable. Like hundreds and hundreds of games would be on sale and stuff. Like it was just crazy. But now everything's free. It's like maybe there's like holiday events and free to play games and stuff like that, but it's not like, you know, the good old days of hundreds of games being 99 cents. So I haven't really gotten too many emails about big Black Friday sales or anything like that. So we'll see. Chances are the best you're probably going to be able to do is like find some cheap iTunes gift cards. So if you can,
that'd be nice.
Yeah, like typically you can pretty easily find them for like 10% off, just, you know, if you look just a little bit during any kind of normal day. So anything close to like 20% or beyond of, you know, off the actual like retail or the, you know, actual value of the gift card is really good, and you should jump on that. But you know, who knows? It's hard to say what's gonna happen, what's gonna pop up and stuff like that. If you're into Mac accessories and things like that, our buds over at MacRumors.com are working very hard all week, coming up with every single weird Mac accessory that might be on sale or whatever else. So be sure to swing by that. You have any plans to do any Black Friday shopping this year?
No, I am terrible about doing any sort of shopping whatsoever.
Yeah.
So I don't know. If I see some stuff, I'm not really going to go searching for it. But, you know, when you're scrolling through Twitter and junk like that, you'll see stuff and I'll probably get all excited to buy something that's cheap.
Yeah, I don't know. It seems like, I'm mostly into like consumer electronics and gadgets and things like that. Mm-hmm. And it seems like those kind of things are just like have gotten so cheap and are just always on sale that, like, aside from the ridiculous doorbuster thing, which I'm not sure what Walmart's doing this year. It's usually something interesting that to keep an eye on, because like last year they were doing like guaranteed stock on stuff.
Oh, right.
But it was like they advertised You see, this just goes to show you how little interest I have in Black Friday now. Like, I don't even know what Walmart's doing this year. But last year they were doing this thing where like they advertise like, oh, come, you know, between this hour and this hour and get a 42-inch HDTV for, you know, $100 or $200, something like that, you know. But and that was guaranteed stock, but they didn't tell you like what brand it was or whatever else. So like the way that kind of all shook out after the fact was you got these like weird rain check things. And then you could come back and they would be like, all right, here's your TV. And it could be like some brand you never heard of before, like a Vizio TV or, you know, whatever else. Like it seemed like it was Walmart just like clearing out like all their old junk that they just wanted to get like out of their inventory and out of their warehouses and stuff. So I don't know how big of a deal that even is. It seems like you need a TV for awful cheap and you might as well spend just a tiny bit more money and get like one that's good instead of luck of the draw.
I think
I
the only
guess.
thing that I might come across a deal on, it's something that I want, is I want to get one of those Ring doorbells and
They have them
maybe
at
a couple of
Costco.
those. Oh, do they?
But I don't know. I bought one and then kind of had buyer's remorse and returned it.
Oh,
Because,
really?
like,
Which, how long ago did you buy one?
I don't know, maybe spring or something like that this year.
Hmm.
Because I was just like,
Yeah, there's like a few, like three or four different versions of them now too and stuff,
Well,
so
right.
I don't know.
That's actually why I returned it because I was like, it was going to take pretty substantial work to install it, because like I had to get my front door replaced, and when the dude replaced my front door, like he messed up the wiring for my doorbell, and it's just like a ridiculous cascade of trying to get all that crap working again. So for me, it wouldn't be just like, oh, unscrew the doorbell and, you know, put these two wires in and, you know, screw this plate on your wall and everything else. 'Cause my house is brick too. So like, I can't just like, you know, screw stuff into it very easily. So I was like, all right, well, if this is going to be like a more permanent install, I'm not going to cheap out on like the $100 one they sell at Costco. Like, I'm going to buy the good one. And then I got involved in their website and it was like, they had, like you were saying, they had like three or four of them. And I was like, well, I don't need the best one, but it's going to be stupid to do all this work and, you know, 'cause like how often do you place a doorbell on your house, right? So I
You
don't
might as
know.
well get the bestest one or whatever. I think the one that I want is, so there's like the two lower end ones, which are rechargeable, which is kind of like something you have to worry about, which is
Yeah, so that
annoying.
was the thing that
And
I
they're
didn't.
bulkier. And then
Yeah,
there's one
that's
that's wired only that's a lot smaller. I feel like that's the way to go, but I think that one's like $300 or something. So,
Well, is your house set up in a way that you could easily just wire it in? Or do you have a
yeah.
wireless doorbell?
I have one of those doorbells that's like lit up or whatever, like the button lights up. So it's already got whatever power I think that it will need.
That's how my
But,
house used to be until Mr. Doorman messed it up and then was like, sorry. And I was like,
Thanks,
okay,
man.
well, my doorbell doesn't work now, so
Yeah.
what are we gonna do about this? And he's like, I don't know, it's getting late. And I was like, okay.
See ya.
Yeah, it was weird.
Dang.
So anyway, so yeah, I don't know. The only other thing going on in my area for Black Friday is this ridiculous beer release that happens every year,
All right.
for the Goose Island Bourbon County Stout, which I actually have about right.
Yummy.
I brought some of this to GDC, remember?
Oh, yeah, we drank that. That was really cool.
So I don't know, like the problem is there's just an immense amount of hype around this beer now, and like they were doing. So if you've never heard of Bourbon County brand stout, like the idea is the Goose Island beer is a very dark and heavy stout that they age in bourbon barrels. And every year they do it a little bit different. So it's like every release is slightly different and kind of worth checking out and stuff like that. But they only release the beer once a year and that's on Black Friday. And people in the Chicago area go absolutely apeshit for this beer. And so in order to get it, like you basically need to line up at night on Thanksgiving and just chill out
That
and
sounds fun.
wait. But we usually, like the way I usually do it is just like get up really early on Black Friday and, you know, go to a grocery store and try my luck and stuff like that. But I don't know, like the problem is now, like when this beer first was a thing, it was a very unique style and it was like, oh wow, like a barrel aged stout. This is super cool. Like I can't believe this. But now it's like you can just go to the liquor store and buy barrel aged stouts that are comparable, just as good, maybe better. I don't know. Without getting up early and standing in line and getting involved in the whole ridiculousness of beer on Black Friday, so.
The older you get, the more stuff like that is just very
I
unappealing.
know, like I was kind of thinking about that today. I was like, oh shit, about Black Friday, Bourbon County Stout. And I was just thinking back to, like, I don't know, like 2010 or whenever it was, like, brand new, or maybe 2009 or whatever. And I was so amped, like I just wanted to leave Thanksgiving and just immediately go stand in line, because, like, I had to get in line and, you know, get the first bottles, because, like, they have different varieties that are more and less rare than just, like, the normal one. So I'm over it now.
The other problem with stuff like that is that the more popular it gets, the more that there's like resell idiots that get in line and buy up all the stuff.
That's the thing,
It's like
man.
one thing if you're like super into beer and you love getting this each year or whatever, but then if you're just like flipping them on eBay, then
Yeah, well, Craigslist, more accurately, but yeah. I mean, I have a whole closet full of expensive, stupid beer that I've collected over years that I haven't even drank yet. So I think I'm at a point where I'm done buying stuff on all forms, all fronts, and just gonna go from there. But anyway, so you know, if you're listening to this in the evening on Black Friday, I hope you got your beer, your TV, your laptop, or whatever,
Doorbell.
your doorbell. You didn't piss off family members too much, because that's the other thing with this, getting this beer, is that, like, you have to bring people to mule for you, because, like, they'll only sell you like two bottles per person, you know. So, like, what people do is they'll get the whole family out, and it's like, oh, well, I take two, and then, you know, my wife gets two, and then my brother-in-law gets two, and all this stuff. And it's like, they don't give a shit, you know. It's just like you're passing your credit card down the line as they're checking out. It's absurd.
Holiday tradition.
Yeah, I guess so. So anyway, there's even though it's kind of abbreviated week because of the holiday, there's been a bunch of cool stuff that's been happening in the world of iOS gaming as usual, which is not really a super surprise. So you posted this thing a couple days ago about a game called Prize Fighters, which is a upcoming Punch-Out lookalike. Well, I don't know if I would say lookalike, but it's like
It
Punch-Out
looks a
with
lot like it.
Punch Out with lightweight kind of RPG elements, I guess, is a fair way to describe it. So this seems pretty cool. I mean, I like, did you ever play much of Punch Club by Tiny Build? Like, so I always find myself saying, like, oh man, I wish someone would take, like, the super lightweight kind of RPG concept that Kairosoft seemed to do so well with, but just, like, do it better and not as, like, a shitty J2ME port. I mean, you know, not shitty, but, you know, not as good as I feel like it could be. But Punch Club kind of did that, and I thought it was, like, just not what I wanted. So
Yeah, it was sort of
maybe.
like a themed simulation that wasn't
Yeah.
necessarily you it could have been anything. It didn't really matter that it was a boxing game because the boxing itself wasn't really the focus.
Yeah.
So this is more like, okay, we're gonna take the actual boxing and we're gonna do mechanics that are similar and simple, like punch out style stuff, you know. So there's like you can punch in the face, you can punch in the body,
Yeah.
and you can dodge and block and simple stuff like that. Nothing too complicated. You're not running around the ring or anything like that. But layer on all of this character progression stuff, and you can create your own guy and fill out the stats as you see fit as you kind of progress through the career mode and stuff like that. Yeah, it just seems really good. And then it's got a nice little art style too. It's definitely an homage to Punch Out,
Yeah.
with like character sprites and stuff like that. But it also seems to have a pretty novel control mechanic where the screen sort of split into four parts. So you can do your low punches, your high punches, and then combinations of tapping both at once or holding down or whatever to do things like dodging and blocking and whatever.
Yeah. Seems cool.
Cool.
I you know, the few boxing games that have been on the App Store over the years, like, I think there was one that iUGO put out. Remember, that was like a punch out like with that game would never fly in 2017. You remember how, like, every character was like a different terrible racial stereotype? Like, I don't remember. I wasn't one like a like an Indian chief guy that was like the Cleveland Indians baseball mascot, practically. You know the game I'm
You know what's
talking
funny is I was reading about arcade Punch-Out because it came on the arcade first, and they're actually bringing it to the Switch with like that Versus series or whatever. They just re-released Mario Brothers, and
about?
so Punch-Out's the arcade version is going to be one of those too. And I guess originally, maybe it didn't make it into the actual game, but originally, like the Soda Popinski character was just named like Drunk Vodka Inski or something, just so like stereotypical, like drunk Russian stereotype. And I was just like, yeah, that sort of stuff probably wouldn't fly nowadays. But then again, I don't know. 2017, anything could
I wonder if
fly.
I can find that IUGO boxing game on Touch Arcade. Do you have any idea what it might have been called?
No, but I vaguely remember what you're talking about.
Yeah, I just remember it was kind of like cartoony. Well, our search sucks on the site, so whatever. I just remember it was like cartoony graphics, kind of like Super Punch Out. And then there was that, was it Real Boxing, maybe? I think that was a Chilingo game.
Real boxing was there was Touch KO, I think was the
Oh,
Chilingo one.
yeah, that's the
Dude,
one.
Touch KO was so legit, and man, I lobbied to those people for so long to like I had all these ideas for it that I wanted them to implement, and they just never did anything with it.
Yeah, so I guess moral of the story is, like, historically speaking, boxing games on the iPhone has been very good because it works very well with touch controls. So I'm stoked for this, I think is the
Me too. And I think it comes out in early next month.
yes,
So a few weeks.
I believe that's, yeah, we have a huge post in our forums and stuff like that, so definitely check that out. And again, the game name is Prize Fighters, one word, so check it out. Next up, as soon as this loads, so if you're still playing Final Fantasy Brave Exvius, Noctis from Final Fantasy 15 is back once again, a new collaboration event, probably for the upcoming release of Final Fantasy 15 Pocket Edition, which I don't know, I don't personally care too much about Final Fantasy Brave Exvius myself. However, Square Enix kind of laying some cards on the table very slowly about the upcoming release of Final Fantasy 15 Pocket Edition. It has me pretty stoked. I think that game's gonna be real good. And I'll say right now, I left this in the comments of today's new games thing. Let me look at my calendar. I was spot on with the Animal Crossing release date. I'll have you know, 21st. We
You
talked about
were.
that. I looked it up. I was perfectly spot on. I am going to say that Final Fantasy 15 Pocket Edition hits the App Store on either Wednesday the 13th or a early release like Animal Crossing on December 12th. So we'll see.
Yeah, that sounds like
Because I
something.
think that my theory that they're gonna that Final Fantasy 15 Pocket Edition is going to be the game that gets featured over the iTunes freeze. And like that
But
is
does it even freeze anymore? I feel like it doesn't freeze anymore.
it, well they stop well it's going to be interesting to see what happens with new App Store, because do you think they're going to keep pushing new content through
Yeah,
the
that's true.
holidays
I
and
guess if it's
stuff?
like a daily refresh thing, they've got to take some time off. So
Or
I don't know.
I don't
I
know,
don't know when.
maybe they won't though, because it'll be so apparent that like the App Store isn't moving, as opposed to like before where it was like on a weekly cycle, you know? I guess we'll see. But either way, I feel like that gives them like the 14th to 15th or whatever gives them a good like couple days to get any kind of like emergency updates out before like the holidays hit. And then yeah, I think it'll be a thing. So
Well, I'm
we'll
with you
see.
on that. I'm gonna piggyback onto your prediction.
Piggyback on the prediction, because I think I don't know. I think, well, we'll see. I don't know. Anyway, so two Minecraft stories that we posted this week, both kind of trickling out from Minecon. There's another Adventure Time episode coming, and as well as like all sorts of like new server stuff that kind of integrates with the online junk, including you'll be able to stream to Mixer, which, show of hands for people that care about streaming or watching stuff on Mixer.
Don't know what Mixer is.
It's Microsoft. I'll tell you what Mixer is in a nutshell. It's someone in a boardroom at Microsoft being like, "Fuck, Amazon just bought Twitch. Now what do we do? I don't know. Make our own, I guess, and hope people use it." That's Mixer. I think what's driving Mixer is you can stream to it natively using the Xbox 360, or I'm sorry, Xbox One, or something. I don't know. And it's like, it seems like, at least amongst stuff that I pay attention to, Mixer has gotten like almost no traction.
Yeah.
But to be fair, if you can just push a button in Minecraft and be streaming on Mixer, I mean, Minecraft is without a doubt one of the biggest games, you know, in the world, especially when it comes to like kids and people that would have time endlessly stream Minecraft. So it's possible that this makes Mixer become a thing. Maybe. Yeah.
If anything can do it, Minecraft can.
Yeah, I mean, if nothing else, this will be an interesting kind of spectator sport of watching to see whether or not like one of the biggest games on the planet can make a new streaming platform a thing.
Yeah.
Because like other streaming platforms have kind of like sprung up in the past surrounding like League of Legends pro players. Yeah. Like there was a platform called like I don't know, like something weird like Azubu Frost or something like that, that like got all these League of Legends pro players over. And was, I think, was paying them to stream, and like no one cared. It was like it's because like people are so embedded in Twitch now, right? It's like you have your Twitch app and you have the people you follow over there, and like you just don't really give a shit about stuff that's outside of that. I mean, we kind of saw that when we streamed on Mob Crush, you know. So but anyway, another thing that's happening is the aquatic update. What got announced at Minecon Earth, which adds all sorts of stuff to the oceans in the game,
which that's cool.
This seems really neat. I don't know. We'll see. Cause like right now I don't think there's anything that happens in the water other than you just, although I guess I'm not super hardcore into Minecraft, so I don't know what happens if you dive deep in it, but it seems like there's not like a ton. There's just like basic fish, right? I don't know.
And some squids, and I think there's sharks. There is stuff.
Anyway, they're doing a ton to kind of like rework the water in Minecraft to make it like cooler, so you can have like underwater cities and
That's good, because there's so much water in it, all the worlds, you know what I mean? So
yeah,
you need to be able to do stuff there.
And also at Minecon, I believe we talked about this on a podcast previous to this one, there was a thing where you could vote for the new mob in game, and this thing called the Monster of the Night Skies one, which kind of looks like a manta ray bat sort of thing.
Yeah, I don't know what that was. I liked the boxy looking one, but I also didn't vote, so whatever. Yeah,
I don't know. Either way, the Minecon Earth stuff was really cool, and I hope they keep doing stuff like that, and you know, especially if they surround it with, you know, community interaction stuff like voting on new things adding to the game, and you know, big updates like this aquatic one, like that's awesome. I don't know. It's pretty neat. Let's see, next up, so if you're into deck building games, there's a game called Vampire. So like imagine just a vampire, but Vempire instead of Vampire. I don't know, it looks cool, I guess.
Yeah, it's been in the works for a while, like years, I believe. So I don't know. I feel like with each passing day, it's harder and harder to come out with a deck building game.
Yeah. Well, so what's interesting about this one is I guess it doesn't have any kind of microtransactions. Like it's just a buy once and play kind of card deck building game sort of thing, which.
That's interesting.
I don't know. I will see. The problem is like when you release a game like this and you boast like, oh, there's over 100 cards, like that doesn't seem like a lot compared to most other games that use cards, right?
Like, that's true, but I guess if you want a card game where you can actually collect all the cards,
yeah,
maybe that'll be for you.
Yeah, who knows? So November 27th, which is what, next week, right? Yeah, next week.
Jeez.
Kind of a weird story here. So Floyd Mayweather is going to be starring in an iOS game. You're probably thinking, oh, cool, they're making a Floyd Mayweather boxing game? Nope. It's a poker game. he's basically just a playable character, avatar, or whatever, in a new casino game called Wild Poker, which is basically just another kind of like Texas Hold'em game.
Yeah.
I don't know. This seems odd to me, but maybe I just don't know what works in the App Store these days. Maybe
I don't know either.
Maybe boxing legends that are instead of utilized in a boxing sense, but instead are just an avatar that's playable in a poker game is what people are really after.
I guess if you look in the world of professional poker, there's more like people from the craziest backgrounds that do that stuff. There's ex-movie stars and ex-sports stars and all that stuff. So maybe it's not as strange as it seems, but the addition of Floyd Mayweather is not making me want to run out and download Wild Poker just yet. So.
Yeah, I mean, do you, so my other question with this is like, typically it seems like when you throw a celebrity into a mobile game, it's because like that celebrity has just like a, everyone likes them and they have a ridiculous massive following and it's like all this stuff, So it's like, oh, the celebrity that I really like has a new game, like I'm gonna download it. But like, it seems, and again, this is just someone that watches boxing very casually when there's like a pay-per-view that people are excited for, but it seems like no one likes Floyd Mayweather.
It's pretty true.
Because like, and again, that my this is just me like skimming the surface of the boxing world, but it seems like the dude just shows off how much money he has. He's super cocky because he always wins. And at least amongst my friends that are into boxing, like everyone just wants to see this dude like eat shit. But he's just untouchable because he's such a good boxer and he's so rich and everything else. So like, I don't know. Like, it's is it are there Floyd Mayweather fans that are super excited for anything that he does? Like, I don't. I
I
guess
don't
we'll see.
know. I don't think so, but maybe.
Yeah, covering this game was a little bit, so a little behind the scenes story for you here. We typically with games like this, like when you see an announcement kind of story like this, like typically we get tipped off by who's ever handling like the launch or marketing or whatever the game. You'll only be like, hey, here's a new game coming up. Do you agree with this embargo? I'd be like, yeah, sure, whatever, fine. And they're like, all right, here's the press release and screenshots and a trailer and all this stuff. Like, you guys can post about it on, the 21st at 3 in the morning. In which case we're like,
When everybody's just
oh,
anxious for news like
yeah. We're
that.
like, okay, all right, cool. And for whatever reason, like Tassos is like on the ball with like writing about these like pre-release things and then scheduling them. So he just wrote this up, no big deal. Scheduled it for 3 in the morning because that's a totally normal time for iOS gaming news to hit. And then, like, so I wake up the next morning, at a normal time, like 6 or 7 or whatever in the morning, and see like, frantic emails from like 1 in the morning as these people are like, hold the really, don't publish a story, don't publish a story. Oh my God, if you don't publish a story, we'll give you codes for thousands of dollars for in-app purchase inside the game to give out to your readers and like all this stuff. Like, I'm just like, what the? Which is always funny when you run into a situation like that because it's like, this story has zero comments.
Not
So
surprising.
it's like one of these things is like, it's like to them this was like this like top tier world-ending crisis of like, oh my God, and what was weird is they just wanted it published in the afternoon instead of in the morning. But it was like, extinction level event, and we published a story and it's like no one cares. Like, I could have told you that no one was really going to care about this, but I don't know. Guess
Whatever.
that's why I make the little bucks, as they
Yeah.
say. So Magic the Gathering Arena, we've been covering quite a bit, even though they also have a fairly absurd PR strategy of doubling down on the fact that like it's not coming to mobile, which is total insanity because of course it's a mobile game. But
I'm still
anyway,
banking on them not releasing on mobile just to spite you.
just so we eat shit on that, yeah, okay. I mean that would be pretty good. But anyway, the closed beta starts on December 4th, so. Pretty excited to kind of see how this all goes. The problem is they're heavily NDAing everyone that's in this kind of like closed beta. So that means very likely not going to be streamed on Twitch or there won't be any videos or anything like that. So that's kind of what I'm curious to see is like how how the game kind of works outside of the very kind of like controlled and sterile kind of pro player streams that they've done already, which I feel like they could have very easily briefed those players and be on like, hey, here's the part of the parts of the game that are shitty, so we're not putting those cards in your deck, so you don't need to interact with that kind of stuff and all this stuff. So as someone that's a lifelong fan of Magic the Gathering that has been swayed by the sweetness of Hearthstone, I really hope that the Magic the Gathering Arena is good. So we'll see. This week they have Pokemon Go has this thing going called the Pokemon Go Global Catch Challenge, which I don't know, it's like something to get people playing Pokemon Go again. So there's the original challenge, which is catch 500 million Pokemon, which unlocks bronze rewards for everyone, which I don't really remember what the bronze rewards were. I feel like it's, you know, stuff like Pokeballs and other in-game consumables or whatever. So that got busted through it pretty easily. The ultimate goal is to capture 3 billion Pokemon before November 26th, which...
That's a lot.
I don't know. Tessa says in this article he's pretty sure that Niantic picked a number that was sure to be surpassed, so maybe that's just how many Pokemon are caught in a normal day, or I'm sorry, a normal week or whatever. So we'll see. I don't know. Another cool upcoming game is Round Rick, which is a brick breaker from the dudes at Fredbear Games. Just kind of wanted to mention this because I think it's really cool how like good the games from Fredbear Games kind of like seem like they're getting, right?
Yeah,
because like remember when this was like a scrappy outfit that like based their studio on like a character from Five Nights at Freddy's and had like, you know, I don't want to say games that were bad, but like, you know, definitely like you could tell they were like, you know, this is our first try at publishing games on mobile or whatever. You know, and through the years they've like really upped their quality to the point that like I almost wonder if keeping the Fredbear Games name isn't like kind of doing them a disservice. You know, because like when you hear that, don't you think like, oh, this is just another shitty Five Nights at Freddy's fan thing, right?
I actually never knew that connection, so.
Yeah, Fredbear is the name of
But I do know that whenever I search for their games in the App Store, I get all the Five Nights games.
Yeah, well, Fredbear is the name of the main Five Nights at Freddy's bear.
Oh, okay. Like Fredbear?
Yeah, the you know, Chuck E. Cheese or Showbiz Pizza looking main bear guy. That's Fredbear, I guess.
But yeah, they've released some good stuff.
Yeah, really surprising just how good their recent games are. So Round Rick, you know, I don't know, like it's not, I don't think it's gonna like necessarily change the world of brick breakers, but it, you know, it looks really good.
I think it's interesting. The coolest thing about this game to me was that as you break bricks, resources rain down like stone and wood and, you know, whatever. And you have this overarching goal of trying to like revitalize this destroyed city or whatever. And so you're breaking all the bricks, but you're also collecting crap, which I thought was kind of a neat mix.
It kind of reminds me of, what was that Schlingo game that... you did like matching. I don't remember if it was like a tapper or a line drawer or match three, but like you match resources, which are then used to do like town building kind of junk.
It was it's gonna come to me.
Shockingly popular. This is the worst part about covering mobile games for a decade, right? Is you can be like
so many.
You can just totally like if I could like somehow screenshot my brain right now. Like and show people like what this game was. Everyone
I feel like it was
oh,
called
yeah.
like Pixel Miner or something.
No, it wasn't a miner thing. It was more of like a farming kind of thing. I don't know. I'm sure someone listening right now is like screaming the name of the game. It was like, oh, I played that for a million hours. Like, how can you guys not remember the title? Like,
is there still a Chilingo? There is, right?
By name only.
Have they released anything?
I don't think so. But anyway, so Round Rick is looking for iOS and Android beta testers. There's a thread in our
Puzzle
forums.
Puzzlecraft,
perfect.
Yeah,
there you go.
Yeah.
Wow, that was live fact checking. That was pretty good.
Yeah.
So if you haven't played Wrecked yet, which is spelled R-E-K-T exclamation mark.
That's how the kids spell it nowadays.
Yeah, like get wrecked, scrub, I guess. It's really cool. It's like, you know, you describe it as, you know, like Tony Hawk Pro Skater meets an over-the-top stunt driving game, which I think is, I would describe it. Well, I mean, I guess Tony Hawk Pro Skater meets like jet car stunts, but I don't know if that many people know jet car stunts anymore.
Right. Yeah.
So I guess
that's true.
That's kind of accurate. So getting a new arena and new cars, or actually already got, right? Isn't this update out?
Just came out. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So if you haven't played Wrecked yet, you should definitely, give it a look. It's really cool. The game is getting way better with updates. It's $2. Does it? It doesn't have any free-to-play shenanigans, does it? It's just
No
like
IAP.
you just earn coins in game to unlock
Yes.
stuff, right? But it's all meaningless cosmetic shit, right?
Yeah, I mean, you get new cars that some of them are different than the others and stuff, but it's sort of like a linear progression, like just normally playing and achieving certain scores and stuff. So, but yeah, it's really cool. And then they added a new practice mode too, which I thought was kind of a big deal because you can actually roam around and do as many tricks as you want without any sort of time limit. So, kind
I
of
thought
gives you a good
that.
idea to get the lay of the land and find out all the cool lines to hit for when you're trying to go for the high score run.
Yeah, I thought that was a really cool addition because like that kind of seemed like it was missing. Like I kind of just wanted to like dick around and like get good at driving my car, you know, or anything else.
Now you can.
So now you can. So REKT exclamation mark. Check it out. Another story that we posted, this is actually posted today on the 22nd, Slam Mania, upcoming pro wrestling game inspired by Mat Mania. So this looks really cool too. What's
So
your
I
take on this?
so Phil Strofolino's Easy 8 Software. And he's been making games for a long time, like since 2008 or 9, maybe.
That
And
dude's like a
you
Twitter iOS indie staple, right?
know, he's very good friends with the Suzy Cube developer, too. They actually co-developed some stuff together. And so, you know, whenever we're at GDC and stuff like that, meeting with the Suzy Cube guy, Phil's usually around there somewhere, too. But yeah, so he's, you know, sent me these builds, I don't know when, on test flight, but I probably had them for months or something like that. And finally got around to checking them out and was super surprised with how cool the Slam Mania was. I hadn't played Mat Mania, the original one that it's based on, but it looks very similar. But it's cool. It's like nice and simple, works well enough with touchscreen controls and stuff like that. But just the fighting, the back and forth fighting is really good and fun.
It
And
reminds me
challenging.
of like and this is just based on the trailer, but it reminds me of like back when wrestling games were way simpler on like the Nintendo and Super Nintendo and stuff.
Yeah, those were the days.
Because I always really kind of I mean that was back when I was a kid and like really kind of enjoyed how you it seemed like you just mashed buttons and stuff happened and it was cool because you were flying off the ropes and all this other stuff. And like I don't know, I got I don't know, WWE 2K15 maybe. It's been a couple of years since I bought one. And like I just thought it was too complicated. Like it's way
It
too
is.
much going on. Like especially if all you want to do is just like mash your favorite guys together, right? Like I don't know.
Well, I feel like it's weird too, because it's like I feel like the more simplistic wrestling games almost capture wrestling better than like a really complex simulation.
Yeah, for sure.
And something like this, I feel like, does that really well. But yeah, I don't know. It should be cool. It's basically, I don't think he's doing the art for it, but it's basically a one guy operation over there. So
Yeah,
cool
so
stuff.
we've got a thread in our upcoming games forum. Again, the name of the game is Slam Mania if you want to check it out. No solid release date yet, but I mean from the trailer and stuff, it looks like it's at least functional and stuff, so.
Yeah, it's been and that thread's been existing since 2015, so it's been
Oh,
in the
really? Oh,
works for a
wow. I
couple
didn't
years, kind of off
realize
and
that.
on. But it's actually funny to go back. I went through the whole thread again and to see kind of how far it's come from, you know, being this total placeholder art kind of thing to where it's getting at now. So yeah, we'll keep our eye on it.
So yeah, Slam Mania. It's a thing. Looks cool. So if you're into Marvel Contest of Champions, which it seems like a lot of people are, judging by iTunes chart positioning, and you've seen Thor Ragnarok, which you should if you haven't. Have you seen this yet?
Not yet. I want to.
Are you into the Marvel comic universe at all?
No, not. I just am not.
Well, but
I
you've
don't know. I
seen the
don't see
movies,
movies
right?
often anyway,
Oh.
but I would like to just start at the beginning and go
Should.
through all of them in order, because I really like what they're doing with this connected universe and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I just randomly saw Ant-Man one time and liked it a lot. But you know, I didn't get the little nods. Like you could tell there's a couple of characters that
Yeah,
were in it
yeah,
just to be like a callback to a different movie or whatever.
you should
And
seriously
so
start with Iron. Like that's what you should do this weekend, is like start with Iron Man.
maybe.
And I'm sure somewhere, maybe on Wikipedia or whatever, someone's broken out like the actual like timeline of all these movies. Or I
Yeah,
guess you
no,
just watch them in
yeah, I have
order
the
of
order and
release.
everything, so
But yeah, just like absolutely outstanding. Like we saw Thor, the new Thor, when it I think the Friday it came out or whatever. And like, the Marvel movies are getting so good, it's stupid. Like, it seems like they are pulling off the same monkey's paw as Nintendo recently, and that like everything they do is good. And like, I'm just kind of waiting for that momentum to stop because like, how can you consistently release so many things that are good? I mean, because like, personally, like I don't really give a shit about the Thor comic universe. Like, Thor to me, when I was a kid into comic books, was like the least interesting Marvel character because it's like, I don't know, it's mythology stuff. Like, I don't really care about this. But like, this movie, as someone that doesn't care about Thor, I enjoyed unbelievably, probably one of the best movies I've seen in a while. Like, it was genuinely funny, really cool how they, just pull the whole universe together and everything else. And like, I don't know, if you haven't seen it yet, highly recommended. But I would say the same about all Marvel movies. So,
Well, what's funny is that I liked Ant-Man a lot. Apparently, that's the one that's like a bad one.
yeah, that's. Have you
Yeah.
you've seen
So,
Have you seen Deadpool?
no, I
Oh my
really didn't
God,
see
dude!
it.
If you How about this? If you buy Deadpool on iTunes and you don't like it, I will Chase Quick Pay you or PayPal you $20. I
Yeah,
that is
really need to
how.
get better at watching movies. And the other thing is, Pam wants to watch all these too, so we have an excuse to sit down and just watch movies together, but we just never get around to it.
Deadpool is so freaking amazing that it's like seriously, it's like, like the have you played Super Mario Odyssey yet? Have you beaten it? Oh, okay. Well, that is when you do that feeling where you're in like the end scene and you're like, how is it possible that this game is this good? Like that is the sensation of watching Deadpool. So highly recommend it. Anyway, kind of a side note with this, I saw Justice League out of just raw curiosity. Not good. Like I don't I just
Okay.
it is amazing to me how you have like these two independent comic universes, which I feel like each have just as many interesting characters that are highly recognizable and people know and everything like that. But DC just cannot pull a good movie out of their ass for the life of them.
Yeah.
Which I don't know. But anyway, so to not turn this into a comic book movie podcast, so
Not yet.
Marvel Contest of Champions, they're just constantly releasing new characters and stuff like that. Dudes
Yeah.
from the new Thor Ragnarok, so you can play as I think her name is Hela. Yeah, Hela, the goddess of death. It was the main bad guy in the new Thor movie, as well as other dudes from Thor coming out on Thanksgiving. I don't know. Like, that's the thing. Like, that's how. So this is a testament to how good Marvel is at making movies. Like, I can't really even name more than like I like the bad. Like, if the bad guy's name wasn't written in this article I'm looking at right now, I wouldn't know
You
it.
would know.
Like, I know Thor and I know Loki and like everyone else from the Thor universe. Like, well, I guess you have his dad is Odin, right? I don't know, but like I don't know any other characters. And after the movie, like I still couldn't name him. But like I sat there for 2 hours
Still
just
liked
in
it.
love and life. Like, so
Yeah, that's cool.
I don't know. But anyway, that's all the news stories I've got for the day. So, you want to move on to some games here?
All righty.
So I'm kind of curious for your take on Animal Crossing. I know we kind of talked about it when it came out, and I had played the soft launch and stuff, but
I tried to play the soft launch one, and then I got nervous about switching my Nintendo account
a lot of
region,
people did.
whatever. So I just didn't even bother. I was like, I can wait a month. And so I actually grabbed it yesterday when it came out. And I only really played through one day before the servers crapped out.
Oh yeah.
And it was interesting because it actually happened. I was playing last night, and the day changes over at 10 p.m. for me. And I was playing, and the day changes over, and it gives you a little message like, oh, a new day has started. Like it's going to just,
That's
you know.
weird that the game would be in Central Time.
Yeah, I thought so too. But so anyway, the day changes over, or I get the message at least, and then it instantly wouldn't connect after that, but it was connecting fine before that. And so I thought it was kind of weird that maybe they had planned this date as like a server maintenance date or something and didn't tell anyone or whatever, because it was totally working fine up until the exact moment the day changed. But up until that point, yeah, I don't know how I feel about it. I forget if it was you or Sean saying that it felt like Miitomo with a animal skin or Animal
Yeah.
Crossing skin. And I kind of feel that same way, like I don't know, you sort of just like diving into a game full of menus looking for the next thing to do. instead of just sort of exploring around and doing things on your own, I guess. But I still thought it was pretty cool. Like, I think it's fun to go find the right item to give this person and complete a mission or whatever. There's like a nice progression loop and stuff like that. And obviously collecting items and decorating an old campsite is super fun. But yeah, I don't know. I think I'll try playing it for a while, but it's clunkier than I wish it was.
Yeah.
You know, I wish it was not as clunky.
So
And
here's what's kind of getting my goat about this particular game is that I feel like with Animal Crossing, what always kind of really captivated me about it was that there was so much that was left to you to kind of discover, right? Like all these like weird little mechanics that the game is very hands off with how like you discover like how do you even get like the fortune teller to come to your town, or like how collecting art works and like all this other stuff. But I feel like because this is a free to play game, it needs to have like that like first time user experience that like is here's all the dumb shit you do in this game, and here's how the freemium currency works, and all this other stuff. Whereas like I remember the first time I played Animal Crossing on the GameCube, I was like, what do I even do? Like I have this town, this okay, like can we run around and you talk to a couple of villagers and be like, all right, this is cool. You go to the store and like buy a shovel, right? And it's like, oh, okay, what do I do with the shovel? Let me, I don't know, dig some holes. And it's like, oh shit, I can find fossils. This is really cool. What do I do with a fossil? Kind of thing, And like,
This one's like, here, follow the arrow towards the plot of land to dig and find fossil.
yeah, like th
You have
this.
13 minutes to do it.
This one just seems to be like specifically like, okay, go here and pick your fruit. Okay, come back in 3 hours. You got all the fruit. Okay, now go here and tap to collect your fish. Because like I remember like the unbelievable epiphany when I played the first Animal Crossing, where I realized that like you didn't even get all the tools necessarily your first week, and it was like, oh shit, like you could fish in this game? Like there's a fishing pole? Like what do I even do with this? And that's just, I don't know, totally non-existent in this. So
I don't know. I think it definitely it doesn't necessarily feel like an Animal Crossing game to me, but it feels like a well-made like collect-a-thon free-to-play game, you know what I mean? So
yeah.
I know we say this sort of stuff all the time, but like, hey, if you're super into Marvel, or you're super into this thing, or you're super into Animal Crossing, like there's a version of this type of free-to-play game for you. And so if you're just super into Animal Crossing and the characters and just the style of it, then this is like a neat little game to keep on your phone and sort of dick around with. But it's not like a fulfilling Animal Crossing experience like the console games.
Right.
So,
So
I don't know.
what's been kind of interesting in seeing the reaction amongst friends of mine is that like I feel like the people that kind of like power gamed Animal Crossing, like for instance, like I was the dude that was like, playing the what was it? Like you buy
The stock
leeks or
market.
something? I don't know. Yeah,
Oh,
whatever.
turnip market or
Yeah.
whatever.
So I was I that was what really did it for me. It was like just min-maxing and like spending all of my money on turnips, and then like searching around the internet and like finding people that had like so I guess if you've never played a proper Animal Crossing game, you can like effectively wager in the game by buying these turnips from a dude that comes around one day a week, I think, which was I think is on like Saturday or something like that,
I
Saturday
forget,
morning maybe. And so you might buy them for like 100 bells, which are the in-game currency. And you would then hold on to them, and if you didn't sell them before the week was up, they just rotted, and you lost all that money and everything else. So you go to the in-game store, and every day, well, they might have even refreshed multiple times a day, I don't remember, but the price that they would buy them at would either be lower or higher than what you would purchase them for. So you could like 10 times your money if you found like a good town that you could go to with your turnips and stuff like that and sell them. And I don't know, like that kind of stuff was really fun to me. Like the social game of like, networking with a whole ton of people that are playing the game and being like, yeah, hey, what's everyone's turnips prices at today and all stuff. And that was really cool. And that sort of thing is just completely absent in this Animal Crossing, because like the the economy of the game needs to exist in like the free-to-play world, right?
Yeah.
Where you can't
See,
just have a thing where it's like, oh shit, I just made a million bells. That's cool.
yeah, you just broke the game.
Yeah.
No, I that's interesting though, that's like your, that's sort of the beautiful thing about Animal Crossing is that was your experience with the game and how you like to play it. And me, I was like almost exclusively a builder. And once I saw, I don't remember when I saw, but online, you know, people would go to the pattern maker, which you're supposed to use
Oh,
for
yeah.
wallpapers and clothes and stuff like that. But you could make like cobblestone designs or whatever, or, you know, make stuff that looks like a road with, you know, yellow lines in it and stuff like that. And once I learned that stuff, it was just on with creating like a little city out of my space in the game. Cutting down the trees I want to cut down, laying down the textures to make it look like roads and sidewalks and all that good stuff. And that's like what floated my boat about that game. And so you also can't do that here. Like you're very limited in sort of like the decoration stuff that you can do.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's definitely kind of a hollow shell of an Animal Crossing game,
Yeah.
but that's sort of what Nintendo has always promised from it, right? So.
Yeah, I mean, like that's kind of the thing of this. I feel like you're supposed to see us on the app store, you're supposed to check it out and be like, oh, this is cool, but like, you know, what other Animal Crossing games are there? And then, you know, you get thrown into New Leaf or whatever, which is a way, way, way better game.
Well, you know what sucks too is that Stardew Valley has replaced my desire for any sort of Animal Crossing game at all.
Oh,
So even
yeah.
though I know a Switch version's on its way and I have the 3DS version, it hasn't, you know, not luring me away from Stardew Valley anytime soon. At least I don't think so.
Yeah.
So.
So we'll see. I don't know. It's like, you know, the thing with all these free-to-play games is like, they're weird to review. I mean, I posted a review of it and it
Yeah.
gave 4.5 stars based on like, everyone should try it. Like, it's a,
Yeah.
you should totally download this game. And you can play, I think my Twitch stream was like almost 2 hours long of playing the game, of like hitting absolutely no limitations or anything else,
Yeah, you can do quite a bit of stuff.
for completely free, and everything else. So like, if you download the game and like you only play like what you get for free and delete it after 2 hours, like that's still pretty good for $0, right?
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I don't know. Download it, check it out. You know, lots of varied opinions on this game, and I feel like that's super fair because it's a, you know, a kind of a weird one. So
Yeah.
give it a look. My guilty pleasure of the last week has been this ridiculous Lineage 2 game, which I realize is, how do I get my game to like refresh so I can play? So Lineage 2 Revolution is like the free-to-play game of free-to-play games. Like, you're watching the video version of the podcast. I just logged into the game and I'm getting like the special sale introductory thing, which is for $30. I can get a bunch of junk that I probably don't need.
But it's worth like $30,000, so it's a
Yeah,
really good
who
deal.
knows? You know, and it's got like the login bonuses and, you know, all this other crap that is just like unbelievable. But like, what I like about this game is that, yeah, historically, I've been really into MMORPGs like my whole life. You know, I really loved Ultima Online, which kicked things off, and then kind of got into EverQuest, not a whole ton, and you'll play then played Dark Age of Camelot for a long time. And I think like about the time I was getting bored of that, World of Warcraft beta came out, and then I played World of Warcraft for like years and years and years and years. And I don't know, like I always really enjoyed the kind of progression of those games, right? But what's cool about those MMOs is that, you know, much like what we were just talking about with Animal Crossing, is that everyone finds something different that they like about them. And that's like the real like true strength of the genre. And for me, like in World of Warcraft, it was like kind of like the end game sort of like raiding stuff is what I liked, and like the kind of whole social component behind that, right? So like leveling up your character and all that stuff was just kind of like a necessity of accessing all that. And what's interesting about Lineage 2 is that, like in World of Warcraft, you get a quest that's like, oh, you know, go out and, you know, slay, I don't know, 10 wolves or something like that. So you'd accept the quest, be like, all right, cool, let me go find where these dumb wolves are, you know, kill 10 of them, you know, loot them or skin them or whatever, and then come back, right? Like that is how you play the game. And I don't really know if that is that great of gameplay. Like if you just create a game where like you all you did was like, all right, here, control this character, this guy tells you what to do. Okay, now go run out, kill these 10 things, and come back. Like, is that a game that anyone wants to play without, like, all the other shit in it, right?
Well, I never played any of these games, but I had friends who were very heavy into things like EQ and WoW. And but it wasn't there, like, especially when they – I think it was the first big expansion for WoW. You had to be a certain level to unlock it or something like that. And you'd go around killing, like, rats or doing, like, rat quests or whatever to just slowly build up your thing. So I'd have friends who'd be like, yeah, I spent all the last – all every night the last week just running around killing rats or killing hogs or whatever the little animals are just to get my experience up to this certain level so I could play the expansion stuff or something like that. And I'm just like, that's boring.
That's,
like,
that's an MMO.
If there was an autoplay option for that or even an IAP option to just pay $5 and get to the level you need to be at, then I think that'd be a lot better experience.
Yeah. Well, so that's what's so cool about this game is that, like, and you know, if you're watching the video version of the podcast, like, I am legit not touching the screen. Like, my dudes just run around himself,
really,
killing dudes. Like, yeah, like, no, like, well, a cutscene right now, but, like, which I've seen a lot of people be like, oh, this is bullshit. Like, you know, I can't believe anyone would play a game like this. You know, this isn't even a game and all this stuff. But I don't know. Like, it's been really cool just having my phone just, like, in its little charger dock next to me, and, like, you know, while I work, every once in a while, like, I notice nothing going on. I, you know, look over and, you know, tap a couple things to keep my dude, like, on the straight and narrow with this quest path. And
how much do you want to bet that those people saying that watch people play video games on Twitch?
Well, right. That's it. It's the whole thing is just absurd. And, like, you know, say, for instance, like, if I want to turn off, like, auto questing right now and kill all these guys manually and figure out where to go myself and use all my abilities myself, like, you totally can.
Yeah.
Like, it's the thing. Like, that's kind of the cool thing about this game. But I don't know why so many people are getting so pissed because you have the ability to just kind of, like, you know, kick back and let it kind of just do its thing. Because, like, I don't think I would play this game. Like, my dude here has been going nonstop, like, since the game came out more or less.
Yeah.
And I can 100% promise that that would not be the case if I needed the kind of attention and time requirements as, like, World of Warcraft would have. Mm-hmm, I'd be like, I don't know. I play a little bit and be like, yeah, this isn't for me.
Yeah.
But it's really cool.
I don't know. I feel like it's cool that there's such a sliding scale of you being able to play the game how you want to, with a little bit of help or a lot of help or completely on all none of you doing anything, you know.
Right.
Like, it's kind of neat that there's a game that's like that. And it's obviously, like, a flashy, cool game to just watch anyway. So, I mean, if you just got this running in the background where you're doing other shit, I don't see the harm in that. But some people get very offended about that. And I get it. Like, a game that plays itself like this can be a turnoff or whatever. But that's why there's other video games.
Mm-hmm.
Don't play it.
That's the thing. I mean, like, so how is this really that different from a clicker? I guess was, like,
not,
like,
that's what I liked about your review, is that you sort of frame it as, like, this is an idle game, really, but like a super fancy MMO based idle game, which is neat.
I've played some super dumb clickers that I've really liked, like that. I don't know if anyone remembers the clicker Make More. Have you ever played this? It is like it's absurd because it is like, it distills the clicker thing down to, like, just how pointless what you're doing is. Like, you're tapping to control dudes in a factory that are making things.
Oh, like, I remember that. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The more you tap, the faster they make and stuff and all this stuff. And it's just, like, it is, like, almost a self-parody of the clicker genre. But, like, I played this shit for, like, months.
Yeah.
You know, and, like, and I don't know. These games are, they're just cool because, like, I can manage my little upgrades, like, you know, put my phone down and just let it do its thing. And then, you know, come back and be like, oh, cool, I have a bunch of currency. Like, let me upgrade all this stuff. And I'm like, oh, wow, I'm doing so much better.
Well, it's funny because I was heavy into the Injustice and Contest of Champions games and stuff like that. And inevitably, I always got burnt out on them at a certain point because you get to a point where, like, your daily activity in the game became just unmanageable because it took so much time. Like, to go through everything I needed to do at a high level of Injustice 2 is like a 2-hour time commitment. You know what I mean? Which I just don't have.
Yeah.
And it's repetitive, sort of grindy gameplay, which is fun and fine in small doses. But when you're playing 2 hours straight just because you know you need to do this certain thing before a certain time or whatever, I just didn't like that pressure or that feeling that the game had become a chore to me. But man, if it had an autoplay option, I just grind through the boring daily stuff and do the fun stuff that I like, which was like outfitting your characters and putting together, you know, the teams and upgrading and doing all that fun stuff. It was just sort of like the mundane stuff that got to me. And there actually is an autoplay option in Injustice 2, but it sucks so bad that you can't even use it. So I eventually just gave up on the games. But man, if I had something like this, I'd probably still be playing them.
Yeah, see, like that's what's so neat to me about this is that it's like, so I can do all like the boring questing stuff, which is slowly increasing my dude's level and, you know, getting me better gear and all this stuff. And then like that allows me to do the PvP stuff and like kind of like the more challenging kind of like boss battle stuff. And then I take over and it's like, oh, this is really cool. Like I'm, you know, fighting this cool dude and my guy's way stronger than the last time I did this and all this, which I think is really cool. Like that, it just, I don't know. Like I don't know how you can be mad about that, I guess.
Well, you can be mad about anything.
Yeah.
Watching this get going in the background, though, while we've been talking about it, like I sort of want to try it now.
You
I
should. It's
was not
dude,
interested in it whatsoever,
it's
but
really cool.
it
And
looks
like,
rad. You just fought a giant flaming bear thing.
yeah, and like I can well, I'm in like a weird tutorial purgatory right now, I think, but like and that's the other thing about this is like the amount of depth this game has is just absurd. Like I've been playing nonstop for like a week now, and like it's still breaking me apart, like breaking out of the game to be like, hey, let me show you how this new thing in the menu works. Like, hey, you've already combined levels of items and like you leveled them up some other way and combined this other crafting reagent to make them stronger. But like, check out this other thing you can do. And it's just like nonstop stuff like that. And it's, I don't know,
Interesting.
it's gonna be hard to kind of go back to a basic clicker, like make more or something like that, when like this is the level that the bar has been raised to, I guess, is full of blown 3D graphics, like a questing system, a overarching story with cutscenes and unbelievably elaborate gear system, you know, a PvP system, boss battles, and like all this other stuff, right? Like, how do you?
That's true. That's also the sort of stuff, though, that I'm so fatigued on that, like, once the tutorials are like 15 minutes and there's a million things to learn how they work and stuff like that, it melts my brain and I have to just stop.
Well, so what's another thing that's neat about this game is that like so much of this stuff, like so the boss battles that you're watching me just fight there, were super easy and my guy cleared them right away. But like, I was able to just like click the auto clear button and, you know, got the rewards for that and everything else. So like, you don't even need to watch that kind of like that happen. So it's really cool how this game has distilled everything down to all the boring stuff happening automatically while you kind of, you know, like do other stuff, and then you just kind of turn off autopilot and take over when it gets cool.
That's interesting.
Which I is
Well,
that
I'll check it out.
I guess the argument against that is like, well, all games should be cool all the time, like, you know, you shouldn't have this bullshitty downtime kind of thing, which I mean, it's fair, right? But like, you can't have a game like, the problem is like, you know, if you have a game that's cool all the time, it's a game like Call of Duty that lasts 6 hours and is over. You know, and that just like doesn't really work in the context of a free-to-play mobile game. So
That's what I like about idle games, though, too. It's something to just dick around with a few minutes at a time that you can play. Like Godville, I'm coming on 8 years of playing. Like,
oh
that's
yeah.
insane to me. You don't do anything in that game,
Shit, yeah,
so.
Godville. That game is amazing.
Me check on my God.
So yeah, I don't know. It's I again, much like Animal Crossing, I highly recommend everyone check out Lineage 2. Like, even if you just play it for an hour and delete it, like it's a very cool game for free. So we'll kind of see how this
Well,
one goes. So,
I am going to check it out now. I think you've convinced me.
so the other game that I've been spending a lot of time playing this week is Rules of Survival, which I guess is the So NetEase, for whatever reason, has released, I think, three now games that are
I
almost
can't keep track.
identical. So in the PC world, PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds is like the biggest thing ever. You know, it's a battle royale kind of insta-death survival kind of game, right? And NetEase has just taken that genre and has apparently have multiple teams internally whose entire job is to just clone this game. And I don't, what doesn't make sense to me. Oh, I wish I would have preloaded this on my iPad. It's going faster now. What's insane to me is, like, okay, so I understand the idea of, like, hey, we're going to have three independent teams creating these games, and then we're going to see, like, who the best of the best is, or, like, what the best idea of all three of these games are, and then merge them into one, like, mega game, right? Instead, they just released them all, and which has left people, like, super confused, because it's, like, each game has its own strengths and weaknesses, and they're kind of, like, totally independent of each other. Like, one game will have better controls, another game will have, like, slightly better graphics, and the other game will have, like, slightly better gameplay. And it's like, why didn't you guys just, like, mash this all together and make one super outstanding game instead of three games that are all kind of weird? And
I don't know. I think it's I just would wonder if it's something that they planned on doing. Like, okay, we're going to set these teams up. They're both going to make the same types of game, blah, blah, blah. Or if it was just teams that were working on assets for a 3D open world game, blah, blah, blah. Then PUBG hits it big and they're like, look, make that a battle royale multiplayer game. You make yours that too, whatever. Or something like that, you know what I mean? But who knows? Because I feel like it's sort of silly to just put resources into the same game type from one company like that when you could have just doubled your resources and made a super great one version of the game.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
So this game is, very, 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 on point clone of PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds. Like, the map is a little different, but it's other than that, it's shockingly well done. Of course it has like a layer of jank, like most, Chinese free to play games do, but, I was really kind of surprise. I went into it with a super pessimistic attitude of like, oh, I can't believe they cloned this fucking game. Like, this is going to be too much shit. And then was like, wow, like, this is actually, you know, there's some things about it that are shitty, of course. And like, the virtual controls are, you know, I wish they were a little bit better.
But if it captures the essence.
Yeah. I mean, totally. It's super valid to be like, well, I don't have a PC that can run PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds, or I don't have $40 to buy the game or whatever else. So I'm just going to do this instead because it's free.
Yeah, which is a lot of people's situation, I'm sure.
Yeah. So, I don't know. Like, again, this is another game that... But, I mean, like, here's how like, clony this game is. So, if you look on the plane, like, it's got, like, the Skynet logo on the side of it. And all this shit. It's like NetEase just, like, raised up a flag in their office. It's like, IP? We don't give a shit about IP. Just do whatever you want. We don't care.
Yeah, well, whatever.
So anyway, the cadence of the game is very similar to PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds, in that, like, you drop from a plane, you land somewhere, you collect as much loot as you can, and you kill
everybody. Murder everybody.
Until you're the last person standing.
Lord of the Flies it.
Yeah, more or less. So I posted a guide on TouchArcade, which is primarily based on my experience playing PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds, even though I've been playing this game quite a bit. But it seems like if you want to do good in this game, like, the secret is to just be patient, because people play so stupid in this. Mm-hmm. Like, it's unbelievable. Like, these battle royale survival games are a lot about just, like, you know, picking your battles and stuff like that. Like, you know, you get guns and you wait for a situation where you can kill someone without dying yourself. And like, so many people will just, like, run in, get involved in a ridiculous firefight that they shouldn't get involved in and die. And like, all you really need to do is just find a gun, sit in a house for a while, and you will go from, like, so there's 120 players, I think is what they start with. And like, if you just wait, like, not even a couple minutes, like, you will be in the top 25 because like people just mash together, and that is just absurd. So
interesting.
Quick tips, I guess, would just be very patient, because everyone else is playing the game like an idiot. So if you play it slow and analytically, you will win very reliably.
But is that the fun? Is that fun to play that way?
Winning is fun, I think.
Yeah, I guess.
I don't know.
I like to rush into battle with zero strategy whatsoever.
Yeah, that's been the case. Like, that's what's so kind of frustrating about this game is, like, what are you guys doing? Like, you know, the point of these battle royale games isn't, all right, everyone drop from playing one spot and just punch each other to death. It's like getting in situations where it's like, you know, you've got a sniper rifle and you're, you know, doing these, like, enemy at the gates kind of sniper battle sort of stuff.
Yeah.
One thing that's been sort of interesting about the game is it's very obvious that there's, like, no filtering at all of player names.
Oh, God.
So I would say do not let your children play this game if they can read. Because the names I've seen in this game are like just dumbfounding. That's like, wow, you guys didn't even add in a filter that's like, hey, you can't have racial slurs as your name and stuff. So
So this is Rules of Survival, right?
yes.
Did you play the other ones much at all,
I
or do you
mean,
have, is this your favorite?
I don't know. I mean, briefly diddle around with Knives Out, but it seems like there's just so many more people playing Rules of Survival that like matches fire off like instantly.
This is the one that's top of the charts, right?
Right, yeah.
Yeah, that makes a difference.
So yeah, it makes a huge difference because like, you know, 120 player games fire off in like a minute or less,
Yeah,
you
that's
know,
nuts.
as opposed to the other one, it seems like it took a while for it to you know, sort of load and stuff. So.
See, that's another dumb thing about splitting the games up like that, though, too, is you're splitting the player base up. And if other people prefer one of the other games, but nobody's playing that game and you can't get matches, then what's the point?
Right. Yeah, I don't know.
Just
I
weird
mean,
strategy.
so this is one of those games that I feel like it's the learning curve is absurd. And if you haven't kind of been exposed to a battle royale game, like I feel like you're just gonna join into this, play it like a deathmatch game, die a lot, and be like, I don't know, I never win, and this is stupid.
Yeah, that would be.
So yeah, it's it comes with a recommendation of the caveat that like you need to understand how the game and the genre works, which might take a little bit of research because the game has absolutely no tutorial. You just hop in and play.
Maybe I'm not even seeing, I'm just not seeing it, but I don't think Knives Out is even in the top 200.
No, I don't, I have no idea why this one was the one that won the, oh
Crazy.
shit, there's a dude. All right.
Don't die, Eli, don't die.
Killed him.
Oh,
Got him.
headshot.
Wiener Salad just died. He's got a Desert
Wiener Salad,
Eagle,
I
an
like that name.
AR-15, a bunch of ammo and all this stuff. Yeah. So I don't know, like, you know, it's what's interesting is that I initially approach this game and be like, I own PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds. I'm hundreds of hours into that game. Like I know every aspect of it and all this other stuff. Like,
Why would you
why would I
bother?
ever play this? But I found myself being like in bed being like, oh, you know, I'll play a couple games of that. You know, like or whatever else, right? Like it scratches the same itch and it's really fun and all this stuff. So
Interesting.
I don't know, but I wish I could see myself in a like parallel universe where I had never played PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds and just got thrown into this. If I would be like, I don't know, this is dumb, I don't understand what's going on, or if I'd be like, wow, this is really good, this is, you know, the new hot thing. So
What's the crap you can buy in these games?
I don't think you can buy anything right now. Like that's,
Oh, really?
it seems like they're playing like the long game on this of being like, I don't know, let's see what happens and we'll add like cosmetic stuff or whatever in the future. I haven't found a way to purchase anything.
Okay.
So I don't know.
That's pretty interesting.
But it does seem like distinctly beta-ish though, because there's like a an entire button dedicated in the virtual UI for submitting bug reports. So you can like submit your coordinate in game, and then there's like all sorts of checkbox, like you can check like got stuck, blocked and missed the target or whatever, and then like, you know, type in like what happened or whatever, which you don't see that too often in, you know, a game that's at the top of the charts, like a dedicated button for reporting bugs, right?
Oh, you're right. There's no in-app purchases. So does it have ads?
No, not yet.
What the hell is the point of this game?
I think the point is to just get millions of people playing it. Because like, if you have millions of people
Yeah.
playing a game, like you could figure out a way to make money. Like
That's true. Well, it
that's
looks
the
like they
thing.
got what they wanted.
Yeah, I guess. So
Interesting.
I don't know. It's Rules of Survival. If you want to play that or Knives Out or what's the other one? That's
There's a
Survivor Royale is the third one.
Survival Royale is apparently just a improved version of Knives Out. It's the same game, I guess. Like
That makes
actual
me
gameplay.
wonder if that's not the best version of the game then.
I heard that like lots of things like the translations and stuff were better, but I don't know. How more confusing could you be? Not only are you releasing two different versions of a game, you're releasing two same versions of a game under different names. I don't know. It just there I would love to have somebody from NetEase email me and tell me what the thinking is behind any of this.
I don't know. I feel like if you could understand that, we'd be making way more money than we are right now.
Probably, yeah.
So anyway, the other game that came out this week is Puzzle Fighter, which you should totally check out, but we're running a little long, so we'll probably talk about that next week after we spent more time with it. It only just came out a couple hours before we started recording, so I haven't even really fiddled around with it too much. Anyway, I don't know. You have any parting thoughts before the holiday weekend?
I don't think so. I guess I'm LTTP on this, but I got my iPhone 10.
Oh, LTTP.
And like it a lot.
Yeah, wow.
So maybe we can chit-chat about that next week.
A good phone.
It is a very good phone. Might be my favorite.
So one thing I will say, so I went on like this scavenger hunt and spent a lot of money to find like the best case for the iPhone 10.
Yeah.
The best case is the Apple case.
Really?
Yeah, I spent like $150 on different cases because I was going to write this like super insightful TetraKate article about like the pros and cons of each case, but it's just like everything is shitty compared to the Apple case. Like I don't understand what third-party case manufacturers are even doing. So
it makes sense, I guess, but not everyone wants to spend whatever $60 or something on a leather case. So.
Leather case is the best. Pick whatever color you want and buy it. Use it for a year. It'll look amazing. I don't know where my other phone is, but it looks really cool. But anyway, I guess that's our show for this week. So thanks a ton for listening. I hope everyone had a fantastic Thanksgiving, whatever you ended up doing. Even if it's doing Denny's on Thanksgiving, which I've totally done before and it's totally fine. I also done Denny's on Christmas, which is
really
the same, but a little bit more depressing.
Yeah.
But anyway, and also hope you had a good haul on Black Friday, whatever you decide to do or not do, in I think our case. So thanks a ton for listening. If you like this podcast or TetraKate or anything that we do inside of the ecosystem of TetraKate, you know, forums, Discord, whatever, we'd love it if you would either support us on Patreon at patreon.com/TetraKate or do your Amazon shopping through TetraKate.com/Amazon. Both do a ton to help us out. We stream on Twitch at twitch.tv/TetraKate. If you want to, you know, follow along with the cool mobile games that get streamed on our channel. Otherwise, just come hang out with us at Discord at discord.gg/TetraKate. Leave us an iTunes review if you feel like it, or send us an email at podcast@TetraKate.com. Is there anything that I'm forgetting?
I don't think so.
So yeah, I don't know. That's our podcast. Thanks a ton for listening, and we'll catch you next time on another episode of the TetraKate Show.